In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's Mentally Yours from Ellen and Yvette. Focus on your mental health, you surely won't regret. It's mentally yours.
Welcome to Mentally Yours, Metro.co.uk's weekly podcast about all things mental health. I'm Ellen.
And I'm Yvette. And today we're talking about food banks. We're chatting to Charlotte, who has used them, and Grace Wild, a senior policy researcher who works for food bank charity, the Trussell Trust.
Yes, I've had problems with my mental health for most of my adult life. I was actually 21 when I had a breakdown in my final year at Oxford University due to the pressure of the environment and doing my degree and so on. And that was quite a severe experience where I had to take some time out of my course, but I did go back and complete my degree, thankfully. And then I'm now in my 50s, so obviously that's a long time ago. But I've had longer term depression and anxiety and have experienced panic attacks in the past, but not anymore. And it's impacted my life very majorly because, well, I've been a carer for my disabled daughter, who's now an adult, and that also had an impact on my mental health because she is severely disabled and she's one of twins. And I was caring full time for her for 12 years. And then her dad took over and he's still doing that full time now. And the girls are nearly 22 now. And I haven't been able to work in a full time paid job since that time, which is 10 years ago now that I handed it over. So it has had a very major impact on my work opportunities, my finances, relationships with people, lots of things, really.
And how have food banks supported you?
Yes, I was in a situation a few years ago where, unfortunately, I didn't really have enough money on the benefits I was on to live and to even to be able to afford food. And so I visited my local food bank a couple of times, and they gave me, you know, an emergency food parcel that lasted about 3 days in each case. And it did help at the time because it was literally a case of I did not have any money in my bank account and I couldn't buy food other than possibly using credit cards, which obviously is not a good position to be in terms of you've got to pay the interest back and so on. So it helped me a lot at the time. And then eventually it turned out that I wasn't receiving the full amount of benefit that I should have been, and it was backdated and so on. And fortunately, since then, I've been in a position where I haven't had to use a food bank anymore.
I think it's really important to talk about how mental illness kind of contributes towards poverty and struggling with money, but then also to talk about the kind of flip side of it, which is that obviously money issues and being and struggling in debt and those kind of money problems can massively impact your mental health. Can you talk to us a little bit about your experience of that? How did, you know, struggling money-wise affect you mentally?
Yes, I agree that it's definitely a two-way process. But because I haven't been able to work for much of my adult life, I have been reliant on the benefit system. That means I've been, by definition, on a relatively low income. And at the same time, being on a low income means that everything is more of a struggle in terms of budgeting, managing to pay your bills, food, travel, clothes. You know, I like to try and buy things for my daughters, and one daughter is at university, and help her out when I can. So it is a two-way thing, that because I have long-term mental health struggles, I haven't been able to work for many years. And at the same time, because I'm on a low income, it's caused me a lot of stress and worry and anxiety that then does not help my mental well-being when you're constantly thinking, how do I pay for X, Y, and Z? So it's definitely a very sort of symbiotic relationship, I think.
I think a lot of people listening will have struggled with that. So I guess this is a kind of question for both you and for Grace, is how do we get people out of that cycle?
Me personally, I'm now in a good place emotionally. I'm considering possibly earning a small amount of money through what they call therapeutic earnings, which I'd be allowed to. And I think that would be good for me in more ways than one. But it is a very difficult cycle because, for example, I live in private housing. I wasn't able to access social housing, although I did try to get that. Therefore, my rent is extremely high. And I'm very fortunate it is paid for by housing benefit, but it does mean I would have to be on a very high salary, particularly living on my own, to be able to pay that rent. Therefore, I am in a poverty trap where I can't really earn very much anyway, because then it would all go, I just wouldn't be able to do it if I wasn't on the benefits I'm on. And so it is actually really hard to get out of on a practical level, and also to feel confident enough in myself that I could cope with any kind of real work pressure. Because from previous experience, when I was at university and in other jobs I've done in the past, I do seem, unfortunately, to have a low threshold for stress compared with most other people. And I've accepted that. It's my personality. It's due to my childhood and things that have happened to me. But I have to be realistic that I can't put too much pressure on myself, because if I do, my mental health would definitely go downhill.
I think it's really important to just stress, like, first and foremost, that the most significant thing that drives people to needing to use a food bank is a lack of sufficient income, and therefore the inadequacies of our social security system. We know that hunger in the UK isn't about food, it's about people not having enough money for the essentials that we all need in life, and having to face really impossible decisions. And being in that situation can just very clearly have a significant impact on someone's mental health. So in order to end the need for food banks and prevent people having to turn to food banks for support, what we really need is a system that provides everyone with enough money to get by, and a proper social security system that that supports any of us when we might need it, and not just in kind of obviously we're in particularly kind of difficult times at the moment, but yeah, not just in times like these, but all the time. And yeah, just also to say, Charlotte kind of talked about being kind of tipped over the edge. And I think that's something we really see quite a lot with people referred to food banks in our network, that a lot of people referred have had some really difficult experiences in the months leading up to that referral, whether that's illness or disability, or we see really high levels of homelessness, eviction, bereavement. These are all experiences that put a strain on our mental health and well-being, can have a real kind of compound effect. So all these things kind of conspire together. Someone might lose their job because they're struggling, and that in turn exacerbates their mental health problems. And all of this is really kind of conspiring together to play a real role in levels of poverty in the UK.
Charlotte, so how did you get involved with the Trussell Trust's work? Because you also volunteer for them, don't you?
Yes. It was quite sort of a straightforward way that I became involved. Something came up on my Facebook saying, have you had lived experience of food poverty going to food bank? And I don't know why, something in me made me fill in the online form, because I don't tend to volunteer my experiences in that way. But I think it was something I felt strongly about. And a very nice colleague from the Trussell Trust got in contact with me on the phone. We had a long conversation, and she's been supporting me ever since. And it went from there, really. And then, because she knew that I'm very keen on poetry, both reading and writing my own poetry, she suggested me writing, if I could, a poem about going to a food bank. And that was then made into a film on behalf of the Trussell Trust, which was very powerful, and has been viewed a lot on the internet and so on, and was featured in newspapers as well. So that's how I first became involved with the Trussell Trust.
Charlotte, can I ask you a bit of a kind of heavy question? I apologise in advance. I wanted to ask you a little bit about kind of the lingering after effects of your experience, because I know you're in a much better place now. But do you still feel like that kind of like a hangover, or kind of like some kind of fear that this might happen again, especially with the cost of living crisis?
I definitely do. The cost of living crisis is affecting me, like millions of people. But also there is a fear that possibly in the future my benefits may be reduced or taken away from me, because I do have to prove every few years that I do have mental health issues. I'm not able to work. And my fear is, because I've been functioning so well, and I'm in fact in the process of coming off the only medication I've been on of antidepressant, that's a positive thing. But I'm now worrying that they're going to look at my application form and say, well, how can she claim that she's got depression when she doesn't even take medication for it?
How do you cope with that? Because that's such an awful thing where you are obviously getting better, but you feel like you shouldn't, like that's mad. How do you cope with that?
I know it is a strange, crazy, as you say, situation. It even, to be honest, to be frank, put me off coming off the antidepressants. I've been on them for 9 years, and my GP, who's a very good doctor, would frequently ask me if I still wanted to be on them, and I used to say yes, I do want to be on them, they're my insurance policy, this is how I felt. And I've been on the minimum dose for a long time. But that, I thought, if I do come off them, I can't prove, as it were. But in the end, I thought, no, it is the right thing for me to come off them. I've got to give it a try. So far, so good. I feel exactly the same not being on the medication as I felt being on it. But I am concerned for the future that I am going to be hauled up in front of these people that are often not very qualified in the field of mental health, and they hold my financial situation in their hands. If they decide that I'm not entitled to ESA and PIP, but I would definitely appeal, and I'm a fighter, and I'd fight for it, for my right to get those benefits. But it is a concern for me at the moment that I may be considered too well to be on the benefits I'm on. But with no other real alternative, with the rent that I would pay, which would be £850 a month for a flat, 2-bedroom flat, if I wasn't on benefits, how am I going to afford that? And council tax, which I get paid for at the moment, and all my bills. You're looking at, I've worked it out, I'd need to be on a salary of minimum £30,000 a year, and that's not going to happen. So, I am dependent on the benefit system, very much so.
I think it's great that you say, you know, you're a fighter and you would fight it, but it's also sad because you shouldn't have to do that.
You definitely shouldn't have to, but because of my experience of being a parent carer for a severely disabled daughter, which again should not be the case that parent carers fight for everything for their child. And one of the reasons I had to give it up after 12 years was I was ground down by it. But I have fought for everything for my daughter, and I would do the same for me. But you shouldn't have to. The system should be a lot easier. And also, I'm one of the fortunate ones because I'm articulate and educated, and I can advocate on behalf of myself. Not everybody can, and they're the people that I really fear for the most.
Grace, what kind of support is there at the moment for that situation, and what needs to change to make it so that no one is in this situation again?
Well, I mean, we see a really high overrepresentation of people coming to food banks who have disabilities, but very low levels of people who are able to claim disability benefits, which suggests something about how, exactly as Charlotte's been talking about, just how difficult it is to get access to those benefits. I mean, the reality is that benefits just are not sufficient. We did some research recently and found that 40% of people who are in receipt of universal credit are being forced to skip meals to survive. And one in five were unable to cook hot food this summer. And we are seeing that across the food banks in our network, people asking for cold parcels, so things that don't need cooking because they don't want to put the oven on. And this is in the warm weather. This is like, you know, we haven't even got into the territory of energy bills going up. So the reality is that the benefit system is just completely insufficient. And that's why the government urgently needs to uprate benefits in the spring. We're extremely concerned at any suggestions that this might not happen in line with inflation, given the experience of so many on the lowest incomes at the moment. So, I mean, the reality is that that's what urgently needs to happen, is an uprating of benefits. Of course, like, beyond the financial support, there are other services available. We've partnered recently with Mind. We see that 72% of people referred to food banks in our network, someone in their household has a mental health problem. So we see really high levels of mental health problems. And so we've partnered with Mind to refer people on to more specialist support. And food banks in our network are doing absolutely everything they can to support people facing hardship, but no one should have to turn to a food bank. And so we're working hard to prevent that in the long term, and prevent that becoming kind of institutionalized and accepted by us as a country.
Grace, you have covered a lot of this, but I think I'd really like to hear more about what the Trussell Trust does, just because for some people listening, they might be new to it, or they might not really understand fully, or they might have a vague idea it's to do with food banks, but they might not understand how they can access them. So could you give people some information about all of that? Small question, but that would be great.
Yeah. So the Trussell Trust, we're a national charity. We're a network of food banks right across the UK. And so the food banks in our network are doing absolutely everything they can, tirelessly working around the clock to support people with emergency food parcels when households are facing financial hardship. But as an organisation, we're working to end the need for food banks. We don't believe it's right that that so many people in the UK can't afford all the essentials that we all need to get by. So we work to change policy, so that I've talked a lot about the benefit system. We do a lot of work to try and change policy so that the benefit system is sufficient and provides sufficient income. But also we work to address the kind of stigma associated with poverty and needing to use a food bank, so that there's just greater understanding.
But if somebody does need to turn to you, what's the process for them doing that?
Anyone who needs, like, food banks in our network are there to support anyone who is facing financial hardship. They will not let anyone go hungry, and they are there when they're needed by anyone who needs them.
Yeah. So where should people go to find out more information about the Trussell Trust?
Yeah, absolutely. So on our website, if you go to trusselltrust.org/get-help, there's loads of information there about how to find your local food bank and how to get in touch with them for support. And also there are different phone numbers depending on where you live in the UK for our Help Through Hardship helpline, where an advisor can talk you through the difficulties that you're facing and help you get the support, the financial support that you need.
That's brilliant, Grace. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And thank you, Charlotte, as well. That was really great. Is there anything else either of you would like to add before we wrap up?
I don't know if you'd include this, but I do feel there should not be a stigma at all about going to a food bank, of reaching out for help that you're not able to cope financially. This is happening to so many people at the moment due to energy prices, inflation, food prices, everything going up. So that would be my main message. Please do not feel that there is a shame or stigma attached to it. They shouldn't be. They're very friendly and welcoming when you do go to a food bank. They can signpost you for other support and be there to listen to you and what you're going through. And that's part of the experience of it, as well as just actually getting the food parcel. So that's something I feel very strongly about. Also with mental health, there shouldn't be a stigma. And that's one of the reasons I'm very happy to speak about my long-term mental health problems, because I want people to understand that it's a common thing. It can happen to anyone. It happens to many people. And it certainly should not be something that's taboo or not spoken about.
So this is goodbye from Mentally Yours. So go away, enjoy your day, get on with all your chores from Mentally Yours.
If you've been affected by any of the issues we've been chatting about today, please give the Samaritans a ring on 116 123.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and subscribe to our channel, and perhaps even go back and listen to some old episodes. We have many of them.
Also, you can get in contact with us. We have a lovely Facebook group, which is called Mentally Yours, and we're also on Twitter at MentallyYRS.
See you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.